When I say 1 John, think John, the first chapter, the first verse.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the same. The Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And it goes on to say that there was someone that came to bear witness of this Word, or he referred to it as light. And it says he wasn't the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. And the Bible uses the term that this great light, having sprang up in darkness to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, that they could not comprehend this light. As Brother Taylor was saying, it is given to some to comprehend this light. And to others it's not given, but the opportunity is given. As I was telling some of the brethren just recently, a lot of times we're evasive to the things that offer themselves to us. And especially opportunity to do something for God. And I said, you should never be evasive, because it's not something that God is trying to press upon you. He is offering you opportunity. And you should seize upon that opportunity as quickly as you can, lest it should pass you and go to someone else. Well, anyway, speaking tonight, I want to talk just a little bit about the Word. But I wanted to finish my thought there. Life is but a mind. It's a state of mind. And like something that happened the last day or two, there was a sister that came by, and she wanted to do something for the Lord. And she came by, and she had purpose in her heart to share with the Lord. Of course, she asked Sister Betty not to mention it. And I haven't mentioned it, other than I haven't mentioned who, you know, but I mention things like this where people are interested in doing something for God. I pray for God to meet needs, and God meets needs. And of course, this sister came in and she gave $10,000 to the work of the Lord. It was so strange, because she greeted me, she greeted my companion, and then she gave it and she turned and she said, "I'm having a bad day today." And I thought, you know, my land, you're giving $10,000 to the work of the Lord and you're having a bad day. But this proves what I was saying. It doesn't matter what you do as to your frame of mind. Indeed, doing something so mighty is wonderful. But still, you've got to really strive to enter in at the straight gate. And you've got to strive to keep the right frame of mind. Because Paul said, "I serve God with my mind, God, who is a spirit. He is the invisible God. And we serve him with our mind. Therefore, we must keep our mind just right." And the Bible said, "Be not of a doubtful mind." And then a lot of times we allow certain things to affect us, whereas the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Which means you have the power to keep it from being troubled. We go to God and we say, "Oh Lord, I'm so troubled. Lord, don't let my heart be troubled." But see, he tells us that by faith in his word, you have the ability to keep your heart from being troubled. And you have the ability to keep your heart from being afraid. It's up to you. Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe." Then when we turn to God and we start considering the fact that we are to be believers, or that we are believers, as to whether we're making believe or believe. Then when we turn to God and we begin to meditate in the laws of God, as the Bible said, meditate in his laws day and night. Then we turn to the Lord, and suddenly we remember that anything that we can ask God for has already been given to us in Christ Jesus. For the Bible says God hath given us all things in Christ, and all things are yours, and that all of these were given to us from the foundation of the world, and was brought to light at Calvary, that this wonderful gospel might be made known by the rent veil, the means of the rent veil, and preaching it down through the church ages, that we might comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful gospel. So then, when we think of faith and this thing given to us in Christ, all things that pertain unto life has already been given unto us. And that's why the writer said, And to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death or darkness, great light is sprang up unto them. Because it was brought to light at Calvary. And the prophets had prophesied of this particular time of Calvary, that it would be there that the veil would be rent, and then the light would show. I tell you again, the Bible says that in the days of Moses, there was a veil put over his face, that they of Israel could not look steadfastly unto the end of that covenant, which was to be abolished or done away with. But now the veil that was over Moses' face to the prophet likened to Moses, now the veil is rent. At Calvary it was rent. That we're not seeing through a glass dark, less to the veil. The veil represented the intellectual mind of Lucifer that came from the tree of knowledge that fell over the mind of Adam and Eve. That is, when you say they had to look through the veil at Moses, or the Shekinah glory that was between Moses and them, the light on Moses' face being so bright they were afraid to look at it because you couldn't see God and live, they were told. So then we cannot see God and live. We see God because we die by the body of the Lord Jesus. But we don't look through that glass darkly. We behold as it would be in a glass with open face. And through this wonderful release glory as to the transformating of our mind, we are changed into the very image of Almighty God from glory to glory. Into this wonderful image of Jesus Christ, because there is nothing between us and the glory. So we know that the veil has been rent in twain. We know that it has been rent in two. Jesus made within himself two or twain, both Lord and Christ. And at Calvary, the separation of this Lord and Christ as to the rending of the veil. This happened, I say again, that my body might be taken from my spirit and my spirit might be released in a sanctification under perfection, that it might enter into the spirit of Christ and dwell in heaven from the time of my new birth. And this, of course, was given to me in Christ before the world ever was brought to light at Calvary. Or that is to say, he saved me while I was yet in my sins. So then, if this was given to me, my body is now dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. Paul, I remind you, said there is no good thing within the flesh. And who shall deliver me from this wretched man that I am, which is the flesh that's guilty of all wrong? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he condemned sin in the flesh at Calvary. He smote the fleshly image of the bastard child, the image of the first man Adam, for in Adam all die, and the sentence of death was in our body. So Jesus died. That was us dying. He became the form of a servant. He became me in death and died out of the presence of God, that I might become him in life through the resurrection, delivered for my offenses, raised again for my justification, and in another form, as to say the form of the original Adam, as when the Shekinah was there, when he was a figure of him that was to come. The second man Adam being made a quickening spirit. So then, I am tonight not as I was in my first birth. I am born again. I am now bone of his bone. And I am flesh of his flesh, and royal blood now flows through my veins. And all of my corruption, the Bible said, and all flesh is corrupted its way before God. All of my corruption is gone through the fall of Adam, through the sins of Adam. Born into sin and death. It's all gone by the body of the Lord Jesus. And this great, wonderful light of his understanding, that is what has done it. And the true light now shines, even from Calvary. This great light sprang up among them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. For it was said unto men, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And the Bible said, God, who saw this appointment and gave this appointment, saw it was taking man's life. The Bible said he appointed them a certain day. And in this certain day, it was to be a day of release. And he looked down from heaven. He heard the groaning of the prisoners. He loosed them that was appointed unto death at Calvary. In that certain day, he heard them and succored them. So then we know that we have Christ. And we know that we are the children of God. And we know that we have this light on the inside of us. And now, as it was said in the book of John, the true light now shineth. And this is the light of the world. And this is the light of mankind. And this is the light of life. And this is the light that guides us into the wonderful kingdom of God through the transformating ability and power of this wonderful light. In the beginning was light, and the light was made the Word, and the Word was called God. And that Word was made flesh, and God was in our midst, and the world knew Him not. Though the world was made by Him, the world did not recognize Him. And it pleased God, because it could not recognize God, that men should be saved through the foolishness of preaching. I chose this tonight to remind you, though I say these things over and over, and Peter said, though I know that some of you know these things, yet I feel that I should stir up your pure minds, which is the mind of Christ, in these things, because we forget so easy. And since we so easily forget these things, then it's necessary to have a minister to stir up your mind. It's like little children. A dad and mother raising little children, they have to continually refresh the minds of those children, especially teenagers, that death is lurking in the shadows. And that they are not to take up time with the wrong people, because evil communications corrupt good manners. And that the law is waiting. As to a transgression, then you have to pay for your wrong. And the parents are continually reminding them this. And you would think that when they get so old that they'd never do that again. You would think that these are intelligent children. These are my children. I've taught them the right thing. And they should never do a thing like that. But just as quick as they get out of your presence and they begin to reflect that thing out there in the world, there is an atmosphere created. And this atmosphere is so enticing. It is so jubilant. It is so powerful. It is so forceful. It is so alluring that the very taste buds become interwoven with this lustful desire, until they are allured away, they are called away, they're led away, and the first news you know, they're in trouble, they're in the prisons, or they're out there, they're in a wreck, or they're in the hospital, or something bad has happened to them, they lost their virtues. And you say, my God, why did you do that? And they say, well, Mama, I didn't mean to do that. Dad, I didn't mean to do that. But see, nevertheless, they did that. And this is what we are seeing tonight. You may be a believer, but you're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible said, put ye on the whole armor of God, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the desire thereof or the lust thereof. See, but put you on the full armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins about with the truth. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel. And take the sword of the Spirit. See, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Taking that shield of faith, and cast not away thy faith, for it hath great recompense of reward. For the shield of faith will quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, I said this just recently. I want to pass it on to you tonight. When the Lord comes back, the scripture says, will he find faith on the earth? It is true, he will find faith in the earth. There will be some that will believe. It'll be a little flock. It'll be straight as the gate. It'll be narrow as the way. But he will find some hearts with faith. Not the evil heart of unbelief, but some heart with faith. This is why the Bible said, do your best to please God. Convince your heart. Do the things that please God, and then you will convince your heart. Then you have the confidence, which is faith. That God heareth you, and we know that if God hears us, we have the very desires of our heart, because he promised us that we could have the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in him. His blessing would make us rich and had no sorrow. Now he'd make all of our beds in the time of our sickness. So we know that if we confident in our heart to God, we have the desire of our heart, because all of these things are already given to us from the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus. Let him come and partake freely of the waters of life.
He that hath no money, let him come anyway. Let him come boldly before the throne of grace that he might receive help in the time of need. For Jesus has paid it all. Jesus hath made you perfect. Jesus hath made you righteous. Jesus has sanctified you once and for all. Jesus has opened this fountain in the house of David to you that you might freely partake of these wonderful things of God. So we know then this is a great salvation. And we know that we are delivered by the rent veil. Our body is now dead. Our spirit is alive forevermore. But the body is dead because of sin. And in the sight of God, he now sees our body as the body of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't see this old wretched image anymore. But he sees the body of the Lord Jesus. So let's don't make provisions for the flesh. In the early church, they didn't make provisions for the flesh. But they sold all that they had. They laid it down at the apostles' feet. And took gladly to the spoiling of their goods, knowing that they have a better substance in heaven. And they gave their lives to God, that they might have this abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. He wants you to have a filled up, overflowing life. I have life, but he wants my life to be abundant, filled up and overflowing. Now, let's stop here just for a minute and consider something. Why should I have abundant life? I think, well, my God, Lord, you want me to have abundant life? Why do you kill me? Why do you put me in the grave? Why do you kill every generation? And yet, does God kill the people? The Bible teaches that death is the enemy of God. Death didn't come by God. Does God kill the people? Or does Lucifer kill the people? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. It is Lucifer that kills because he's the one that causes the sin. And yet he could not do it if we did not allow him to do it. He could not have deceived Eve if she had not allowed him to. She knew better because it was said the day that thou eatest thou, thou shalt surely die. So then it's because we make allowance for these things. See, we are a sovereignty. We have the same sovereignty that Adam and Eve had. To either choose good or bad, to either do good or evil. So, is death then God's friend? Death is God's enemy because death steals the creature of God. Now you and I, we don't die. We go to sleep. If we don't make the change, if we don't stay around till the change comes, then we go to sleep. There's no such thing as we die. The Bible teaches that we'll never see death. Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And they said, but Abraham died. The prophets died. How is it that you say that if one should keep your sayings, he should not see death? Are you then greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it. And of course, they took up stones to stone him. Now, I say this again. We think about the lonesome valley. We got to die. Why be so disturbed over it? Everybody does it. Everybody, except one or two chosen vessels, like it was as to Enoch and Moses and Elijah, and even Moses and Elijah has to come back and die. So everybody does it. Everybody at one time is a little baby born into the world. Then they are a young teenager. And then they are young and handsome, or they're young and pretty. And they spend all of their time thinking that they're just going to conquer the world and project that personality. And they're just going to have lots of finance and money and the goodies of the world. And they find out when they get them, then here comes the long clause of the IRS. And then there's tags, and then there's insurance, and then there's taxes, and all kind of upkeep and whatever. And they feel like then they're in a prison. See, and I said that again to repeat this, that we don't need those things. We're not of the world. We don't have the love of the world. We're not making plans in the world to stay here. We're making plans for God. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, when I get older, I will. The Bible said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. You know, start when you're young. In my younger life, when Betty and I started, we did some wonderful things for God. See, to give God your strength, and then God will give you strength all the days of your life. See, we are not afraid of death.
because we're not going to die. The Bible said all of our life we're subject to fear as to the bondage of this world or the things of the world, or subject to bondage by fear of death. But if we have no fear of death, then why should we be subject to bondage? So we're not subject to bondage as to the fear of death. Death will never come near you. There will be no lonesome valley. I tell you again, when the angels came for Lazarus, they just picked him up and took him to Abraham's bosom. There was no lonesome valley. There was no night of darkness. There was no terror. There was no going out of the light here to light the light over there. The light never did go out. If you are not born again, if you've never come to know God, your light will go out. Because the Bible said, strengthen those things that remain, lest I come and move your candlestick. And the Bible said your candlestick, it's the spirit of man on the inside, searching out the inward parts. But see, that light will go out because that is a temporal light. But if the Son of God comes and he lights up your candle with the eternal flame, as we call it in this world, then your light cannot go out. At death, as we say, when death comes in, then your natural light goes out and you go to hell like the rich man did in hell. He lifted up his eyes. But if you have lit your candle with the eternal flame, it cannot go out. Death is the power of darkness. And in you there is no darkness. Darkness cannot fellowship you because you are light, and light eradicates darkness. And Satan cannot get near you. He cannot touch your inner man. It is sealed by the great loving spirit of light, which is the Holy Spirit. God is light. In him there is no darkness. And when this creature of darkness comes, when it comes to you, the light just eradicates it, and you never see it. Through the eyes of your understanding, you never see that evil thing called the spirit of death. It cannot get near you. It doesn't even come to where you can behold it. All you will see is light. And in the light of the understanding of this glorious experience, why then should you fear death? If you know that you've got God's spirit, if you have not God's spirit, though you be a believer, you're still none of his. See, if you are a true believer, you will receive the Spirit of Christ. So then we are sealed on the inside with this great, marvelous light, and the angel of death, he shall never come near you. When you lay down on what you call your deathbed, he won't come near you. I cannot say every one of you must die because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I say that it is appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. But I say that Jesus broke that appointment for you at Calvary. And he looked down and he loosed you from that appointment by taking your place at Calvary. And since transgression of the law is sin, and sin is the sting of death, he came, as Daniel said he would do. He took the sting out of death by folding up the law and laying the law away. Now there's no more transgression of the law because there is no more law. And you're dead to the law. And the dead cannot transgress the law. The law hath power over man as long as he lives. You're dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus. So then that means that you cannot transgress the law. If you cannot transgress the law, then you cannot sin. And if you cannot sin, then you cannot die, because sin is the sting of death and the transgression of the law is sin. So then there is no law, therefore there is no transgression, there is no sin to you. He that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. The Holy Spirit seals your inner spirit unto the day of the redemption as to the change of the body, which will bring in the adoption. And the Bible said, grieve not this Holy Spirit. Abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul, that grieves this precious Holy Spirit that's protecting you. So then we know that there is no death to the Christian. Why should there be a fear of something that doesn't exist? Why is it? The Bible said Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. It says he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. How did he destroy the works of the devil? The Bible said that sin gets its strength by the law. And when he folded up the law, fulfilled the law, laid the law away, there is now no more transgression of the law. Therefore, sin cannot use the law to bring you under condemnation. Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. For to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled and unbelieving, is there nothing pure? Their conscience, even their conscience is defiled. But when you got the Holy Spirit in here, you feel clean and you feel godly. And though these things make war against your intelligence through your human senses, as to the alluring knowing that you are dependent upon these human senses, as to survival, that is to say, the things that these human senses relate to in the world. But at the same time, then you are not subject to bondage of these things if you'll use your faith. These things harass your mind, but they have no power. That's why the Bible said they are nothing but vain imagination. And casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. So we should not fear. We should not be afraid, because Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And when he fulfilled the law and folded up the law and laid the law away, that finished the works of the devil, because sin gets its strength by the law. And so then the transgression of law is sin, and sin brings sickness and death. So we know that we are free from the law. The devil's works has been destroyed, because in taking the law out of the way, the devil has no more power over you at all. Because the law only has power over a man as long as he lives. And we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and alive by that body through the resurrection, delivered for our offenses, raised in a new form, back to the form as to Adam, the figure of him to come when he was illuminated with the grace. All right, so we know then that this wonderful word of spirit and life is doing something for us. We hear it and we believe it, and thus we become God's. It is Jesus' will. It is God, the great Holy Ghost's will, the Spirit of Christ. It is his will that his spirit, Christ's spirit, should live in you and possess the reins of your mentality, your body, and completely subdue you, that you might be transformated in mind and changed, translated in your spirit and transfigured in your body to become a God. It was his ordination, his divine desire, that Adam and Eve should be one, and that Adam should be a God, a great God that would rule in heaven and in earth, overcoming, sitting down in the throne with God, heaven being his throne and earth as his footstool, and ruling with a rod of iron, breaking the nations as pottery. That is, changing their laws, their governments, whatever, their plans, social benefits, just crash that thing like that with the rod of iron and said, "That ain't the way I want it, it will be this way." And ruling with a rod of iron to set up the government accordingly as God would have it, with liberty and justice for all. So then we realize that death is gone. Death is conquered. All of the works of the devil is destroyed. And he hath no power over you. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What is that power? To as many as received the Holy Ghost or believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, then you receive power, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. That's power over all things. I thank thee, Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh. Christ, the great master, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one with many crowns, the great power over sickness, poverty, all things, over sin, over lust, over covetousness, jealousy, envy, strife. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For he alone is made heir to the glory of God. And Christ in you, the Bible said, greater is he that is within you than he, Lucifer, that is in the world. And the continual warfare between Christ and Lucifer, as you born of Christ on the inside and Lucifer in the world. The world is nothing but lust. It's vanity. The world, the lust thereof, and all that's in the world shall utterly pass away, dissolve, be on fire. Even the heavens shall melt. The heavens shall pass away, and there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, with a king reigning in righteousness, wherein dwelleth creatures of righteousness, as you being new creatures in Christ Jesus. For already, beloved, are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be as to the sight, but we're not to know each other after the flesh, because of the lack of change. You will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But look how secure we are. Delivered from sin, delivered from the works of the devil. So when we go to use our faith, we already have all of these things. They're already given to us in Christ. There is not one thing that you can ask for that God hasn't already given to you. Do you realize that? I want you to let that really sink in tonight, to give the more earnest heed to these things. And take heed how that you hear. When you ask God for something, whether it is prosperity, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The will of God is a good will towards you. The will of God is, I will that you prosper. I will that you be in health. I will that you have spiritual security, eternal security. So we know his will, his word, faith in his word. It's spirit and life. But the thing is, anything that you ask God for, you already have in Christ Jesus. He's already given you all things that pertain unto life. And great, exceeding great and mighty promises, that by these you might be partakers of this wonderful life. For the words are spirit and they are life. The word said, let there be in everything emanated from the word through faith and come to be. So I'm fixing to close by saying this. We know then that when the Lord comes back, he's going to look for faith. You know, it's kind of like me. I go into the hospital to pray for people, which I've done before on numerous occasions. And I go to a home to pray for people. I go to a church to pray for people. I pray for people in general, day and night. Now, I go into the hospital. I cannot go from bed to bed and say, look, what race are you? What tribe are you? What origin are you? What church do you belong to? What is your doctrine? How is it that you came to be here? What caused your problem? I can't go through all of that. See, what can I do? I go into the hospital and I talk to them a few minutes and I ask them if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe, Jesus said, that I'm able to do these things? Do you believe? And sometimes they just make believe. They say, I do believe. When they're lying, they don't believe. But then there's some that do believe. But see, I pray for them because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And right now, grace is to all. The rain, the blessings of God, the wooing, as to the tare and to the wheat, as to the just and to the unjust. So then I pray for them on the basis of faith. Because if they really do believe, then God purifies their heart by faith. And thus they are sanctified by the faith of Christ. And the Bible said as their sickness is taken away, their sins are also forgiven them. Because by faith, he purifies their heart. So then justification is by faith. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, whose iniquities are taken away. His sins are covered. The image of iniquity gone at Calvary, and the sins covered by the blood. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for works. Faith, his faith to him for works, as to believe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For he said, this is the works, even Christ, the works was finished from the foundation of the world. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, whose sins are forgiven. So we know that God has secured us, and the devil doesn't have any right to subject us to anything in our body, sickness or sufferings or sadness or whatever it might be. He hath no power because the curse is gone. With the law being gone, all of those things that was to come upon the people as the curse, which was sickness and all of these terrible, terrible things that we've enumerated at times. You can read it in the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. It's all gone, and you're free from the curse. See, you're not under the curse anymore. You are born again. The one that was under the curse, God smote him at Calvary. He's dead. He's gone. Now, I said all that again to get around to my closing thought, if I can. And that is, when the Lord comes back, it will be like when I go to the hospital, I have to just pray for all. And when the Lord comes back, he's not going to look for the denominations. He isn't going to look for what church you belong to or what group you belong to or how long you've been in what you call religion or Christianity. He's not going to look at you as to what you say your works are. He's going to look at you one way. That's according to the blood tag of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Or he's going to consider you one way, faith. If you have faith, you're going to make the translation like that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And the Bible said, as of now, he hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God by faith, kept under the law as a tutor unto the faith which afterwards should come. And now the faith of Jesus Christ is here. Paul turned my people from darkness unto light, unto the faith which is in me, by which they are sanctified. So then we know that when he comes, it's going to be a matter of faith. If you have a virtuous heart, all things are clean and pure to you, and there's nothing unclean to you. Because no matter what you look at, you're going to think of it in a heart of purity, in a heart of cleanliness. And anything that's not edifying to the saints or to the Spirit, you're not going to watch it. You will shun the very appearance of evil even in your thoughts. And you're not going after anything that's worldly, because if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. You're going to have God's guidance in here, and you're going to turn away from anything that's corruptible and not, the Bible said, our eyes are too holy to look upon evil or wickedness. So we know then when the Lord comes back, he'll be looking for one thing, and that's faith. If there is faith in your heart, that means that you've been doing right. You've been doing the things that please God, and you've convinced your heart. And because of that, your confidence causes you to receive the translation. If you do not have faith in your heart, then you won't make the translation. Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you tonight. Just glad to share these few words with you. Always glad to come to church and share a few little things with you, because I know that we need these things. We need the Word. We're translated by faith, and faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Therefore, let's be a doer of the Word. And the Bible said, he that doeth these things, happy is he. If you haven't given your heart to God, then you should give your heart to God. He is the invisible God, whom I serve with my spirit or with my mind. Be not of a doubtful mind. For whatever you say, you can have. Whatever you believe, you can have. Whatever you decree in your heart as to that that will come to pass, and doubt not to be of a doubtful mind, ye shall have it. For his desire is that ye be gods. He wants you to be gods, to live forever. Death is his enemy. He has abolished death. He has done away with him that hath power over death in your behalf. And children of God, you're the beloved. You're the apple of God's eye. You're the true Israel. And you're the spiritual Israel, and God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be safe and confident in his faith, in his love, and he wants you to do exactly what he desires in his word for your life, because these are words of spirit, and these are words of truth, and he wants you to live forever, and he wants to preserve your body eternally, and he can do it, and he will do it merely by faith, by faith. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Believe and don't doubt. Don't fear. Just not be of a doubtful mind. Believe only, and ye shall see the glory of God. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior. Sweep over. What can I give him of all he has given? Oh, what can I offer the Lord? I don't have riches, a mansion, or a palace. Oh, what can I offer the Lord?
heaven is his throne, the cattle on a thousand hills, my Lord already owns. All that I have, it won't miss from the sky. What can I offer to the Lord but my heart? What can he do with a life that's stooped in sin? What can he do when there's no hope within? Lift up the fallen man down off the sinking sand to Calvary's precious plan. That's what he can do. What can Jesus do for you? Though you're lonely, sad, and blue, he'll do what other powers can never do. For he'll hear every time you pray and drive all the clouds away. He'll turn darkest night to day. That's what he can do. What can he do for you? Though lonely, sad, and blue, he'll do what other powers can never do. For he'll hear every time you pray and drive all the clouds away. He'll turn darkest night into day. That's what he... Can you sing it one more time with me? What can Jesus do for you? Though lonely, sad, and blue, he'll do what other powers can never do. For he'll hear every time you pray and drive all the clouds away. He'll turn darkest night into day. That's what he can do. Where will you be a million years from now? Sing that with me. Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll out eternity? I ask this question: where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of your birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Where will you be?
million years from now, will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll out eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Let's just lift our hands up together and close our eyes. It's always a privilege to come and be with you. I love you. You're my children in the Lord. And I want you to have the full gospel of Christ, the full understanding of Christ, that you can have the full benefits of Christ, not only in the world to come, but in this present world. And I want you to have this shut up and burning in your bones like fire, so that you will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, whether you do it as to launching forth this on the home front, as to finding your place in God, or laboring that you might have to give of your time and of your substance, or whether you are called into world evangelism to go into all the world to personally witness this gospel to every creature. For the Bible said, in the end shall not come till the gospel has been preached to every creature, even the gospel of this kingdom. The Lord and the prophets and unto John, since that time the kingdom of God has been here. Men have been preaching the kingdom of God, the name Jesus, and men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And you can go forth preaching the kingdom message because it came at Calvary. You are now born of God, and the kingdom of God is within you. And you've been translated as your spiritual man into the spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And it's so wonderful to think the kingdom of God is already here, and that you're already sons of God. And we're to pray, Father, thy will be done now on earth as in heaven, even in this body, to make manifest in the body this wonderful, wonderful heavenly treasure of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it might change these bodies into the glorious image of God and preserve them fully from sin and sickness and wrong until they are changed. Enoch was changed by faith into the marvelous translation of that light. Let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory. I'm going to ask brother, little brother Ernie to come up. Oh, His blood that washed away all our stains. Can you sing it again now? I will praise.